chapter 13. We're going to be studying verses 10 to 17 this morning. We're starting a new series on the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in the 10th verse. The disciples came to him, Jesus, and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, and did not hear it." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. We thank you for the truths of your word. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us now as we study to hear the truths that you have for us, the things you want us to take home with us, and how we might best honor and glorify you through all that is all that we study today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, over the past, a lot of you have heard me speak many times about Gary Smalley. He was a marriage counselor to the pro football teams, probably back in the 80s and 90s. Very popular. He did a whole series of marital counseling videos to help people work together. And in one of his sessions, he talks about a method of communication that can be used by people so you can get a point across to the other person about how you're feeling so that they would completely understand it. He gives an example of one married couple who the husband would sometimes have to work a little late, and he would get home and he'd walk through the door and his wife would be on him. "Well, where you been? How come you're so late? Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you?" And she'd just be tearing him down because he was late getting home. And he would, you know, he'd explain what happened and everything, and she would just be so frustrated and angry about it. So this gentleman comes up with this story about this little puppy and her grandpa. You see, if you want to have someone understand what you're saying to them, you have to get them involved in it so they can relate to it. And she loved her grandpa. And he told a story about how grandpa had got this new little cute puppy, and he had a big enclosed backyard, and the puppy could go out and play in the yard and have fun and just really be great. He was great company for grandpa, and grandpa just loved having this little puppy around. But one day, the puppy is out in the backyard, and he finds a hole in the fence. And he goes through, and he's kind of like, "Oh, wow, a whole new world for me to explore here." And he's kind of trotting around the fence in the backyard, and all of a sudden a butterfly catches attention. And what do puppies do when they see a butterfly? They chase the butterfly. So he's chasing the butterfly along, and then he sees a squirrel. And the squirrel gets his attention, so he chases the squirrel, and the squirrel leads him across the street into the next door neighbor's yard. Across the street, and he's over in that yard, and he's looking for the squirrel. Squirrel goes up a tree, and now all of a sudden he realizes he's lost. He doesn't know how to get home. So he wanders and wanders. He's crying, and he's barking, and he's yelping, and he's wandering around, and finally he sees the house, and he tramples across the street, and he runs around to the backyard and tries to find the hole in the fence. He's trying to find it. He's digging and trying to make a hole. And finally, he finds the hole and gets back in the yard. Now, Grandpa had been out looking for him all this time because he saw him missing from the backyard.
So when Grandpa sees him come running into the yard, Grandpa goes out. He's all, man, you bad puppy, bad puppy, bad, bad, bad. And he's beating the puppy. Oh, why you beat me? You know? And so the woman is all wrapped up in this story. And the husband stops and says, that's how I feel when I come home and I had to work late and you're so mad at me. You're just beating me up with your words. That's how I feel. Now, if she had a sensitive heart, what do you think her response would have been? Nobody wants to say it. Yeah, you know, there should have been. If he had done the story right, there should have been tears in her eyes, because now she realized, oh, I have done to you what Grandpa did to that poor puppy. You know, Grandpa didn't do it, but, you know, you get the picture. You see, what Smalley was basing these stories on were parables. Parables that people could relate to. You see, when we use a story that touches the heart of those listening, it invokes a response in them, unless the person is hard-hearted. Now, she could have said, if she was a hard-hearted person, she could say, oh, shut up. I'm sick of hearing your excuses. Just get over it. And make sure you're home on time. Because when I have dinner on the table, I want you there. You know, she could have responded like that if she was hard-hearted. But if she had a sensitive heart, a tender heart, an open heart, she would have understood what this parable was speaking to her. You see, these stories are called parables. And they are meant to provoke a response in us. And that's why Jesus used them. He didn't sit at a desk. You know, Jesus didn't sit around at night wondering, well, what kind of story can I make up to get these people's attention? These came to him like this. He was able to roll them right off and get them so that in the middle of these hard times, when people were either on him about what he's teaching or something he did, well, you healed on the Sabbath. So what? Isn't the whole person more important than these legalistic laws you guys have? You know, Jesus came up with them on the spot in the heat of the debate or in the heat of his teaching. Now, have you ever read your Bible and just come across one of those aha moments where something in the Bible just jumps out and hits you and you're like, wow, I really have never seen that before. I never understood that before. You see, Jesus used these parables to poke at the hearts and the minds of these people to wake them up to a truth that he wanted them to grasp in an aha moment. They were simple truths that aligned with the principle he was teaching so that the people could grasp them quickly and then respond to them. But in order for them to be effective, it had to be a subject that those who were listening to were familiar with, something that they could relate to, something that they understood, so that it would come across to them. See, the parable was meant also to point out only one aspect of a truth being related, not the whole gospel, not the whole principle of the kingdom of God, but just one little aspect of that, so that he could get them to understand that one aspect and then act upon it. It was like having a flashlight in the dark when you're heading someplace. You know, I have one of these flashlights that you pull the head back and forth and the beam goes like this or like this. Okay? Where is it the brightest? If you have one of those.
When it's focused
down. So you can see where you're heading. That's what these truths were supposed to be. Just things that Jesus was trying to get them to focus on. He didn't want them to see the whole landscape of what he was trying to teach, but just focus on this one truth that I'm trying to get across to you is what he was after. So in verse 10, Jesus had just finished the parable of the sower, and we're going to go over that one next week. The disciples came to him, and they say to him, why do you speak to the people in parables? You see, we find that Jesus had finished speaking to the parables to the people, and it was pretty close to the end of the day, and he was now alone with all the disciples, and they come to him and ask him this question. How do we know that? Mark chapter 4, verse 10 says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him, meaning his disciples, asked him about the parables. They got off separate, and they're like, why are you teaching these people this way? See, this wasn't a new teaching for these people. The Jews used parables in their teaching. Many of the prophets and the teachers of the Jews used them to get a point across to the people so that they could invoke that response that they were looking for. Do you know there's some famous parables in the Old Testament? We're going to look at one. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. The minute you see it, you're going to go like, oh, I know what that one is. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. Everybody's going, I remember that one. Yeah. Beginning in chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house. I gave to you your master's house to you, sorry, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all of this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. And you know how the rest of the story goes. Okay? See, there's more like these. Another famous one in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 4 to 17, and Judges chapter 9, verses 7 to 15. Those are other places where there are more parables that are used in the Old Testament to get a point across. See, the Jews were a very practical people. When you got into a discussion with them, they wanted it to go someplace. They wanted it to lead somewhere so that the point would be made in the discussion and then an action would be taken from that discussion. You know, what's the difference between the Jews and the Greeks of Acts chapter 17 when Paul is at the Areopagus? Anybody remember? All the Greeks at the Areopagus, they like to talk about everything. They didn't mean they wanted to do anything about it. They just wanted to find out all the new things that were going on in the world and what new beliefs were out there. And they just wanted to discuss it. Did any of them change their lives? No, until Paul comes along and introduces them to the real God. You know? But for the Jews, they wanted, because they were a practical people, they wanted their discussion to lead someplace so that something was decided to do. And Jesus used something they were familiar with to strike at their hard hearts to make a point. Now these parables can either be the sweet smell of salvation of the kingdom of God, or they can be the stink of death to the people who hear them because of the way they receive them and the way they relate it to them. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, he says, "To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." Gee, who sent Jesus? God did. Yeah. Jesus was sent from God to show the people and us the way to a full relationship with God if their hearts and our hearts were open to it. Verse 11. Jesus replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." You see, for the disciples who opened their hearts to Jesus because they had turned to him in faith for the truth and for the life that he had for them, and they were following him with all their heart and soul. It's like he said in John 3:3, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." You see, these disciples had given their hearts to Jesus. They had given them to him in faith. How do we know that? Because in John 17, verse 8, Jesus says, "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." See, Jesus says to his Father in his, which is really the Lord's Prayer, not the one that we think is the Lord's Prayer. This is really the Lord's Prayer about his disciples, that they have accepted these truths. They have turned their hearts over to him, so they were the true believers. And because of that faith, by the grace of God, they were given the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. They had not earned their way to them, to hearing and understanding them, but they were given them by God. 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" See, nothing we have spiritually we earn. It's given to us from God. And the more we apply what we're learning to our lives, the more God gives us. See, they weren't given to those who had the hard hearts. The hearts that were hardened against them and hardened their minds against everything that Jesus had to say. Turn back to just chapter 12 of Matthew. Chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. "The people brought to Jesus a man who was demon-possessed and was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?' But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.'" Now, Rory, isn't this a messianic miracle? Okay. And yet, what do the leaders do? "Oh, he's only doing it because the devil's letting him doing it." Okay? Their hearts were hard, and because their hearts were hard, their minds became hardened to Jesus. Back chapter 13, verse 12. "Whoever has will be given more, and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." You see, Jesus gives us a principle here that we would do well to understand. We do well to understand this and apply it to our lives. If we don't use what he has given us, it will be taken from us. Either use it or lose it. How many of you learned languages in high school? How many of you can still speak those languages you learned in high school? You know, when I got out of high school, I could speak fluent French. I barely remember any of that today because I didn't use it. So I lost it. So for us, if we don't use these things that God gives us, We're going to lose them. They're going to fade away in our lives. When it comes to our walk of faith, we're either moving forward or we're sliding backward. There is no complacency or stagnancy in our spiritual walk. We're either progressing or we're going backwards. Think of all the stuff that the world throws at us day after day after day. If we're not moving forward in our faith, all that stuff is piling up upon us and we have no way to throw it off. We have no way to push it away. See, the disciples had accepted Jesus, except Judas, we have to put that in there. So they were moving forward in faith. How do we know that? John 17, again in Jesus' prayer in verse 6 and 16. Jesus says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. See, Jesus said, you know what? Dad, they're moving forward. It might be slow, but they're moving forward. At least they're not going backwards. They haven't stopped, which means that they're now starting to slide backwards. It's kind of like when you go up a muddy hillside, okay? And you get partway up and you want to stop to catch your breath. And you stop and get, what do you start to do? You start to slide backwards. Okay? You know, if you're going to get up that hill, you need to start and not stop till you get to the top. Okay? That's a good analogy for us. Don't stop till we get to heaven. Keep growing in our faith. See, these disciples were growing in their faith, and because they were growing in their faith, they would receive more and more truths and blessings from Christ. John 1:16. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace as we move forward in Christ. But for those who were not using their spiritual sensitivity, they were given, if they didn't turn to Jesus, they were given over to their hard hearts. And they would lose what little they did have. Turn to me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at the end of another parable. 25 verses 24 to 30. It's the parable of the talents. And this is the one person that didn't use the talent that Jesus gave him. Beginning in verse 24. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, God has given us all gifts and talents to use for His glory. Will we use them for His glory? Or will we lose them? Verse 13, Matthew chapter 13. This is why, Jesus continues, I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. See, the leaders of the Jews were becoming more and more hostile toward Jesus. And there would be consequences to them for that. Those who harden their hearts toward the Lord will get what they want and what they deserve. Hard hearts and hard heads. There's an example of this in Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. And the result of that in chapter 9, verse 12, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. God says, you want to go your own way? Fine. Have at it. I'm done. See, the end consequences of their hard hearts will be the destruction that they deserve. Proverbs 29, verse 1. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. See, God's only gonna tap us on the shoulder so many times. He's only going to whisper into our hearts so many times until He says, okay, have your own way. And we've seen example after example of that in Scriptures. See, these people had seen the miracles Jesus had done. They heard His teaching, because it wasn't what they wanted or expected. What were the Jews wanting or expecting at that time? Right, to come back and wipe out the Romans and then take over the whole world. And guess who's going to be there right with their victorious leader? The Jews. Think of the places of power we would be given, is what they were thinking, you know. They missed the whole purpose of what Jesus was doing. And they only were irritated at Him because they weren't getting what they wanted from Him. See, most of the Jews had not learned from their past. And because they did not learn from their past, they were destined to repeat the same mistakes over again. And guess what? The result's going to be the same. Jeremiah 35, 17. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. God called over and over and over to the Israelites, saying, turn back to me. First to the northern kingdom. Turn back to me. Turn back to me, or you're going to pay the price. And they refused. And they paid the price. The Jews in Jerusalem and in Judah and Benjamin, they refused. They went the same way as the northern kingdom did. And God sent the Babylonians in, and exiled them off to Babylon. Because they were hard-hearted and they wouldn't listen. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. Jesus continues, in them is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For those people's heart has become calloused. What are calluses? Are they hard or soft?
They're hard.
Okay, for this people's heart, has become calloused. They can hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. You see, Isaiah was told this at the beginning of his ministry. God says, Isaiah, this is what you're walking into. Hard-hearted people who won't listen and they don't see. They just don't get it. And the fulfillment of this prophecy comes and it's realized here in the ministry of Jesus. These people just wouldn't listen. It's kind of like today where you have people who don't want to take responsibility. Was it my fault? Or wasn't your fault you busted a window and stole something? Wasn't your fault that you burned up a city block or burned up police cars? That wasn't your fault? No. Whose fault was it? Well, it was their fault. See, it would have been easy to blame God for what was happening in their nation. But it wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's fault that the people were hard-hearted and wouldn't listen and turn back to Him so that their nation would be healed. You know, there were those who turned to Jesus in repentance and faith, and they're now enjoying the spiritual blessings of it. Blessings of faith, forgiveness, and healing in their lives. But for those who refused to respond to Jesus and His words and the deeds that He'd done, they would only know loss, hardened hearts, and hard heads, leading to their own destruction, as we saw in Matthew chapter 25, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. See, for those who did receive Jesus into their lives and into their hearts as Lord and Savior, then and now, there would be great blessings for us. Our eyes and ears would be open to receive all that God has for us in His Word. Faith has activated our senses, and it's activated our senses to see the meaning and understand the purposes of the parables. And then we have the Holy Spirit to show us, what do we need to do when we hear these things? What action do I need to take in my life? What thing do I need to turn away from? What thing do I need to turn to? Did you ever get a spanking from God? I have. It's not fun. I found out, though, if you fess up to it right away, it goes a little easier. You know, God would give them and us a picture in our minds to see how the things of the kingdom work and where He wants us to be moving forward to. It says, as Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. See, God has started a work in us in Christ, and He wants to see us grow and mature in Him. And He will do whatever He has to do to get us to do that, to grow. The disciples with Jesus, they were doubly blessed, because who do they have right there with them if they don't get something? Hey, Jesus, what do you mean by that? I don't understand. And He could help them understand. Do you know that we have one right now to help us understand when we come across something that we don't get? Do you ever have a question from the Scriptures? You can say, Lord, I don't understand this. Can you please help me to give me an understanding of this? Has God ever answered that prayer? Yes, for me. I've shared this with you before. I came to that passage in Revelation where it said the sevenfold Spirit of God. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean sevenfold? God's one. And about a week, I said, I don't get this, Lord. What are you talking about? And a week later, God took me to Isaiah and showed me the definition of what that was. The sevenfold Spirit of God. It's seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. See, we have one in our lives who works in us, who walks with us, who helps us to help understand the things that we're studying. In John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. See, if we don't get something, if we don't understand something, the Holy Spirit is there for us to ask, say, all right, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me to get this. How many of you have had celebrations this past year that kind of were unlike celebrations in the years past? You know, how many people did you really get together with on Thanksgiving because of COVID? You know, how many people are you getting together with on Christmas because of COVID? You know, think of the blessings that we have with family that we don't really understand them until we don't have them, until we miss them. Verse 17. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. See, the people who were there when Jesus walked the earth had such wonderful blessings. Could you imagine having God in the flesh right there to ask questions of and to get insight from? How many times have you said, man, I just wish I could sit down and have a cup of coffee with God and pick His mind over this? You know, but some there missed what those blessings were and what they had. If they would have realized who Jesus was, and how so many of the saints in the past, even angels, longed to see this time when Jesus would walk the earth, to hear His words, they may have softened their hearts toward Him. When the three wise men came to the city of Jerusalem and came to the king and said, where is the Messiah? Where is the king born? And who did the king go to? The religious leaders. They said, Where is the king to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem. Yeah. So the king goes back and says, yeah, in Bethlehem. What if you were one of those religious leaders, what would you be doing? I'd be packing up my donkey and heading straight to Bethlehem to see if this was true. You know? But they didn't. They missed it because of their hard hearts. You know, Peter talks about the fact that the prophets longed to look into the things that they were prophesying about for our benefit. And even the angels longed to look into the things about Christ and His coming and His sacrifice for our death, for our His sacrifice and death for our sins. You know, they longed to look into these things. And these people here, they had God in the flesh with them and were upset about it. But for us, we need to take heart because Jesus said, he who believed in Him without seeing Him would be blessed as well. Remember, Thomas comes to Jesus and he wasn't there when Jesus showed up the first time. And he said, well, if He shows up, I want to put my fingers in the holes in His hands and put my hand into His side to see if all this is true. And Jesus says to him, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, in a sense, we're doubly blessed because our faith worked. God, the faith that God implanted in us went to work so that we would believe these things and understand these things and see the blessings that God had for us in them. See, Jesus spoke to the people in parables because there were truths that He wanted them to learn and act upon in their lives, so they could grow in the grace and understanding of how God's kingdom works and then receive all the blessings that God has for us above and beyond. It's the same for us today. All those blessings are there, but we need to see them, grab hold of them, trust in them, and when we put them to work in our lives, maybe if it's just by faith, like how many of you know Jesus is returning? You know, do you know that by faith? Yes. Does that give you hope? Yes. Do we have blessing in that? Yes. When we've accepted that fact, God opens the door for more things to come into our lives so that we'll grow and understand the principles of His kingdom and the truths that He has for us to walk in. See, we need to understand that not all the Jews were chosen to come to faith in Christ because God had others He wanted to bring into the fold. Turn me to Romans chapter 11. This is the last place we'll be looking at. Romans chapter 11, verses 7 to 12. Paul's talking about the remnant who got saved from Israel, from the Jews. And so in chapter 11, beginning of verse 7, he says, what then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so they could not see, ears so they could not hear, to this very day. And as David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? You see, God said, I'm not going to let it just stop here. Because the Israelites had a tendency, well, we're the chosen people, you know, we've got it. This is all ours and that's where it's going to stay. We're going to have a fortress mentality like a lot of churches do today. So they didn't realize the grace that God extended so that we, as Gentiles, non-Jews, could come to faith, could have a relationship with God through faith in Christ, because we acted upon that grace that God had given us. So Jesus uses the parables to invoke a response from the people, including us. When we read them, they should be pricking at our heart to say, what are you going to do with this? What do you think this means for your life? See, when the gospel goes forth, it provokes a response as well. Either acceptance from an open heart or refusal from a hard heart. There's no in between. What will it be for each of us? Are we willing to listen to all God has for us? Are we willing to act upon that? Are we willing to use the gifts and the talents that He's given us for His kingdom purposes? Because if we use them for Him, He'll bless us with more. It's the same principle. We can't financially outgive God. We can't outgive God in using our gifts and talents for Him, because He'll just dump more blessings upon us when we do. That's what the disciples were learning there that day. That God had wonderful blessings for them because they were chosen. If we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior today, it is because God came to us and tapped on our shoulders and said to us, are you open to a relationship with me? Are you willing to take me by faith and come into that relationship through Jesus Christ, the only way that I have provided for you? It's up to us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings that you pour out to us when we have open hearts and open minds to what you want to teach us. So, Father, we just ask that as we go through the parables of Jesus, that you would poke at our hearts, Lord, to help us to know what things you want us to take away from each of these parables and how they should make our lives different and better and more glorifying to you. And Lord, we pray that the gifts and the talents that you have given us, that we might use them for your glory, Lord. That we might use them and grow in them and understand and see the places that you have for us to put our gifts and talents to work. So Lord, we just thank you that when we do that, you will bless us even more. And we don't do it for that reason, Lord. We do it because we know this is what you'd have us to do. And we're being obedient to you. But just as like when our kids are obedient to us, we want to bless them. So you bless us, your children, when we walk in obedience. So open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the truths that you'd have us walk in. And help us to stand firm in those truths today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.